2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is In the News.
Welcome to In the News with on Holy Family Radio, where we bring you the news with a Catholic perspective. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman. And this week we have with us Father John Trigilio. Father, good to be back with you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Lots going on in the news as usual. One of the things that I've been watching lately on television is this nominee for the U.S. Attorney General, William Barr. He admitted to be a practicing Catholic. And one of the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I think it was Senator Joe Kennedy, asked him, you know, if he was Catholic, what that meant. And William Barr said, yes, I'm Catholic. And he's also a Knights of Columbus. Now, do you remember recently there was some scuttlebutt about Senators Kamala Harris and Mazie Hirono questioning judicial nominee Brian Bosher about his membership in the Knights of Columbus, which they described as an organization with, quote, extreme views that are, quote, opposed to marriage equality and women's reproductive rights. Are you telling me now that that's going to be the litmus test, that this is some kind of, like, I think they did this years ago with Opus Dei with somebody, but now it's the Knights of Columbus.
They did. And, you know, the thing that's really irritating and I find offensive is that they don't do this across the board with other groups, fraternal associations. Certainly Knights of Columbus are non-political. They do not support a particular political party or candidate, but they do promote an end to abortion and promote the defense of human life from conception to natural death. So, you know, for that to be a litmus test, that if you're a member of Knights of Columbus, then you're ineligible. You know, that's what we had to deal with when immigrants came to the United States. They claimed that we had torn allegiance between the Pope and the government. When John F. Kennedy ran for office, there were cartoons in the New York Times of these little Jesuits in boats rowing from evil Catholic Europe to the United States with little bishops and popes with little megaphones saying stroke, stroke, stroke.
Right.
And the sad part was that that's what a lot of people believed back then. We had the Know Nothing Party, you know, a couple hundred years ago, where Catholics were denied the right to vote, to own property, to hold office. And now this ugly thing's going to rear its head again. Although, ironically, you know, the Catholics, we have the most seats now in the Supreme Court and in Congress that we've ever had in history. But there's not uniformity of Catholicism, that there are a lot of people who claim to be Catholic, like Speaker Pelosi, and yet publicly promote and support abortion.
Don't get me started. But let me just say one thing. I want to give one shout out. There should be many shout outs to the Knights of Columbus, but just recently they've donated their 1,000th ultrasound machine to a crisis pregnancy center. So they put their money where their mouth is. They are dedicated to saving lives, and God bless them. I mean, I'm so proud of them. The Knights are wonderful.
They are marvelous. I mean, they were my right hand in the parish. The Knights of Columbus and the Council of Catholic Women are two things that any pastor would love to have in addition to the Legion of Mary. Very active, very helpful in the parish. And I have to say, they are apolitical. They do not go out and endorse a particular party or candidate, yet they'll come out and say, here are where the candidates stand on these important issues. So I find it a violation of the First Amendment, okay, freedom of religion, to attack or to deny someone their potential job or appointment because of their belonging to the Knights of Columbus. That I find unfair, unconstitutional, and I dare say illegal.
Okay. Father, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I just wanted you to know that according to the American Psychological Association, traditional masculinity is pathological. So you may be pathological.
Oh, I have been for many years.
I mean, every week something, yeah. And not only that, I mean, this is the APA that large segments of the male population is defined by anti-femininity, achievement, God forbid, eschewal of the appearance of weakness and adventure, risk, and violence. This notion of traditional masculinity is cited as a cause of several pathologies affecting boys and men, including sexual abuse, murder, poor education, mental illness, and suicide. Like, what can you say about this? I mean, honestly, I find this, and on top of that, Gillette Company, the razor people, mm-hmm. owned by Procter & Gamble, mm-hmm. has a commercial now out to say, you know, guys, we have to band together and stop this pathological masculine type behavior. Our kids aren't safe from watching anything. I find that terribly destructive.
No, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, particularly as a teenager, there was an appropriate concern that people talked about, you know, don't be too macho, that, you know, that guys should not at any time ever abuse women verbally or physically or sexually, because there was a climate, you know, that has gone through history where men thought because they were the stronger sex, they could take advantage of women. And that mm-hmm. was, I remember that came out. And I think that was a good thing. But now they've gone to the extreme and saying, you know, masculinity in and of itself, they're finding offensive and dangerous. Well, you know, that's what distinguishes men from women. And what's interesting is that this American Psychological Association, you know, at one time, you know, was against or saw that homosexuality was something that was inordinate, and then changed their tune. They've not changed it on transgender because if they say that's normal, then people cannot get their insurance to pay for their sex change. Mm-hmm. So the same association that you know says, you know, same sex marriage is there's nothing wrong with that, is a little bit hesitant to change their opinion on transgenderism, only because that the people who want to have the surgery need to have it as a condition in order for their insurance to cover it. So, mm-hmm. you know, it becomes commercialized now. It is not based on objective reality anymore.
Yeah. Actually, some more bad news. This is, you know, if people recognize the name Josh Shapiro as the Pennsylvania Attorney General, he put that report out on clergy sexual abuse in Pennsylvania. But you know what? He's doing something else that I find just very, very troubling. He is one of several AGs across the country who have helped to block that religious exemption that was afforded to the Little Sisters of the Poor, as well as others, via the Trump administration for mm-hmm. providing contraception. So apparently, since, you know, Trump gave those Little Sisters reprieve from having to pay for contraception for employees, they now have to pay. They have to pay. I mean, honestly, I get why, as an AG, you'd be kind of very concerned about any sexual abuse, et cetera. But mm-hmm. for God's sake, to go after the Little Sisters of the Poor again, so they're back in the fight again. All they want to do is pray and devote their lives to the ministry of serving the elderly poor. Now they got to fight again not to have to pay for contraception. Don't you find that just to be pathetic?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, these are apples and oranges. You know, the sex abuse by clergy is a completely separate issue from compelling religious women or men mm-hmm. to compel religious institutions to pay for what they find morally objectionable. You know, that's the First Amendment. Freedom of religion, not freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. And the irony of all is that if an employee wants to use contraception, even though the church is against it, the employee can still get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have to have your employer pay for it in order for you to obtain it. You can get it because Planned Parenthood offers it for free in many cases.
Yeah. It's either cheap or free.
Or you can still obtain it if you mm-hmm. want to purchase it. What I find reprehensible is the things that you need to stay alive, you know, like someone who's diabetic who needs insulin, people who are in cancer who need chemotherapy or radiation. There's no obligation for your employer to pay for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, your insurance may need to cover certain things, but there's many things that people need that they still have to pay something for. Yet something like contraception, which is, you know, that's not that's not something that's life-saving, okay?
Right.
That's what we call elective, like having a facelift or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to use contraception, that's something you do on your own dime. And yet we're going to compel nuns to pay for something they find sinful?
Yeah. It really does make me sick, because you often hear the pundits always speaking about, this is women's health care. This is women's health care. I don't get that. It's just women's choice. Let's call it health care. You know, that everybody, that to me means it's a necessity of life. Sorry.
Exactly. And, you know, what's ironic is when you've got a woman who's with child, who's pregnant, you know, many cases, if something happens, if someone, God forbid, kills her, you know, the criminal's up on charges of murder in two persons, the unborn child and the mother.
Right.
I mean, they can only say that if the state has credible belief that unborn child is still a human being, which obviously we know it is. And now science is showing that it's irrefutable.
Right.
That at the moment of conception, you know, that what we call fetus is human. Mm-hmm. It's not a plant. It's not an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And that embryo has all the characteristics of a human being. It's not a potential human being. It is a human being.
Right.
It's just a human being that has not yet been born, but has been conceived.
Yeah, it's like it's a political football. When you want it, it's a life. When you don't, it isn't. Now, which is it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what kills me. But in the meantime, one good piece of news is that abortion rates have been declining over time. In the meantime, abortion advocates are now challenging state laws that require physicians only to perform abortions, only physicians to perform abortions. Okay, well, it makes you wonder, is it because the number of abortions are going down? They're mm-hmm. saying, well, it's too much of a burden for women, so they want certified nurses and midwives to be allowed in. Again, challenging, not happy with the rates going down. Maybe more women are understanding that life matters. Now, they now want to open the pool to less trained. I'm sorry. Let's just put it that way. Medical people to perform these abortions.
And look what, you know, you hate to see it. What's going to happen then is you'll have women who will not survive, or there'll be horrible consequences of these people who are not properly trained and, you know, first of all, they're violating the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, because they are harming the unborn child.
Right.
But also, if they're not certified RNs and LPNs and physician assistants, if when you're starting to destroy life,
right,
and you know you're doing something, you're going in and aggressively doing something to someone,
right,
that the body is not used to.
No.
There's going to be consequences.
Father, we have to stop here and take a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts, whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720WHYF.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720WHYF.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air. And may God bless you.
We're back with Father John Trigilio, and in the news, Father, one of the hot button issues has been this border wall between Mexico and the U.S. It's been constantly in the news. It's the shutdown of the federal government. And one of the questions that was asked by Monsignor Charles Pope, who I really often read his writings, the question he asked is there a Catholic view on the border wall? He says, yes, Catholic teaching is that we must balance the difference between the duty of a nation to welcome immigrants and the duty of immigrants to obey a nation of laws. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe he's correct that, you know, and you could have legitimate views on both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's one one single Catholic perspective on this to say you're for the wall, you're against the wall. I think you have legitimate, you know, this is what we call a prudential judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have people on both sides still be loyal, faithful Catholics, because this is not a matter of dogma, and it's not a principle of the natural moral law. As long as you treat it properly so that you don't demonize people on either side, because the country has a right to have borders and has a right to protect the people within there. So a wall in and of itself is neutral. But at the same token, you know, we have an obligation to take care of those who can't care for themselves. We have an obligation to help those who are seeking asylum. My relatives came from Europe, and they were not all of them. I mean, yeah, my Polish relatives were being persecuted by Nazis and communists. My Italian relatives were escaping poverty. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, people want to reduce this to, a very single issue. I think you got people, good people on both sides of the equation. I think Monsignor Pope is correct that, you know, as long as you uphold both principles, that a nation has a right, even a duty, to respect its borders and to protect its people, its citizens, so that you vet the people coming in, that you you grant asylum to those who truly need it. But you also realize that we have limited resources. Even though we're the greatest country on earth and we're the richest country on earth, we still have limited resources. And, you know, having particular quotas and that may still be something that has to be done. Just to say, anybody who wants to just come in, well, what happens when you can't guarantee or find them a reasonable job so they can work for a living? Do you want to just say to people, come on over, and then go on public assistance? That wouldn't be fair to them or to the people who are already living here.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we want to treat immigrants with dignity and respect, and not as if they were some kind of blight or, that they were some kind of like human cockroaches. They're human beings.
Right.
So I think you can, de gustibus non disputandum est, you have a right to your opinion as long as you don't demonize the other person. I think this needs to be debated fully, with our politicians. And I think, you can have a wall at the same time, reform and revise our immigration laws. I don't, Pope Benedict always used to say it best. We can be both and not only either or.
Yeah. I just heard Nancy Pelosi, who is a self-reported Catholic, say that a border wall is an immorality. I don't understand how you say that and that abortion's okay. I mean, that's what... I don't understand how.
See, there's a clear sign where there is no leeway. Abortion, euthanasia are always intrinsically evil. You're directly murdering an innocent person. Building a wall can be done properly or it can be done improperly. It could be, you could go to extreme. Let's say you spent too much money on the wall and you took money away from, say, people's health insurance and that would be wrong. But if you built a wall that protected people without punishing innocent people, that's okay. Because guess what? All these politicians, you live in communities where either there's a fence or a gate. Some of them actually have a physical wall. They've got security, at the Vatican. So walls in themselves are neutral. They're not morally evil. They're not morally good.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you use them.
You know, it's amazing to me. I don't know where we go from here, because it looks to me like there is absolutely no compromise that's happening. I mean, this is a kind of critical time. Have you ever seen us as divided as we are now, when I say we, in Congress, where it's just nobody wants to, and I shouldn't say nobody wants to move, but the House side is saying we are absolutely not allocating a dime for this.
Yeah, and I would say the only time that you could do that is say we don't want to allocate a dime to abortion. That's where they should be saying that. That's
okay.
Because that's intrinsically evil, the direct murder of an innocent person. Now, not being sensitive and being as compassionate with immigrants as we should be, that's something that needs to be addressed too. But the intrinsic evil of murder outranks that. So first and foremost, we should say government should not spend a dime on murdering innocent unborn children or putting elderly or terminally ill to death.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we disregard the plight of the immigrants, because again, they're human beings. Our country was founded on immigration, but we have to do it properly, judiciously, prudently, mm-hmm. and not just, you know, throw open the doors and say, let everybody in and we don't care where you're from or what your past was.
Yeah. Father, I hate to say this, but there's more bad news from China. And their crackdown on Christians continues. Recently, in a campaign by the Chinese government to sinicize, it's called S-I-N-I-C-I-Z-E, religion, kind of make it comport with the state, with detention and indoctrination of Muslims in the far west of the country and closing of underground churches in the east. And so we continued, and I've seen pictures of it, reports of destruction or desecration of Catholic churches and shrines continues. What are we doing trusting the Chinese communist government to suddenly be a friend of whether you're Catholic or Muslim, right? Makes no sense.
I wouldn't trust them as far as you could throw them any more than I would trust, you know, the old Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. You know, communism sees religion as the opioid of the masses. That's right from Karl Marx. You know, communism is intrinsically antithetical to faith and religion. Mm-hmm. It not only does it seize control over all, you know, material goods and, you know, the means of production and everything, but you basically have no human rights in communism. It's socialism taken to its natural conclusion. Socialism is bad enough, but communism is even worse.
What does the Vatican hope to get out of this?
Well, there's where you see, you know, attempts at poor diplomacy. This is not a doctrinal matter. This is not a moral matter. But it's certainly a diplomatic conundrum, and I would say a fiasco.
Yeah,
you cannot trust this government, the Chinese government, as long as they remain communist. And I've spoken to priests. I met cardinals who were locked up in Red China, and the only reason why they were kept in prison was because they would not denounce the Pope. And I saw good, loyal Catholic Chinese, you know, were tossed to the wolves, so to speak,
yeah.
when the patriotic church was given preference over the underground church,
right?
Even by members of the Vatican. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
That's like the church saying to the Roman, and during the Roman persecution times, we're only going to, you know, those of you who are being persecuted by the Romans, just suck it up and let it happen.
Yeah, I don't know where we go from here. It's very troubling. It's to me, it's a non-starter. If you start out saying that God is dead, there is no God, I don't know where you reconcile. And yeah. Is it for only diplomatic relationships?
Again, it doesn't mean that we don't have diplomatic relations. The Vatican, you know, always had
Did we before this, really?
Well, we had communications with... Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was the communists, fascists, you know, people always were bringing up, oh, well, the Vatican had a treaty with fascist Italy or with Nazi Germany. The Vatican, as an independent city state, has the right and obligation to make, you know, communications and agreements with any government, while it has to make sure that it says to that government, you know, we're going to fight for the, you know, human rights and for the religious freedom of all your citizens, particularly for the Christians who live there. So there's nothing intrinsically wrong in having these diplomatic connections. It's only when it is perceived by the general public that you're endorsing all their bad behavior, which we have to always, you know, be on the alert to say, look, we could talk to these people.
Right.
We just don't agree. And we actually will condemn them when they're doing something immoral and evil.
Yeah.
And that's what the Vatican had been doing up until recently.
Right. Father, finally, something that caught my eye in the news, formerly the Cardinal for Los Angeles, Cardinal Roger Mahoney, is speaking at the 2019 Los Angeles Religious Education Congress. Now, it's noted in this article that since 2013, he's been silenced by Archbishop Gomez. He said, I have informed Cardinal Mahoney that he will no longer have any administrative or public duties because of files from the Archdiocese that were released following a 2007 sex abuse lawsuit settlement that resulted in the largest payout, $660 million in church history. So how is it that he's speaking and is listed as a speaker at this Religious Education Congress? Can you shed some light on that?
Oh, absolutely none whatsoever. I have friends of mine who are in the Archdiocese, and they're just as baffled as anyone else. Because, you know, if you're, every time I go somewhere, I got to get a letter from the bishop's office that say, you know, letter of suitability that I'm kosher, I'm valley ordained, I haven't misbehaved. There's no dirt in my file, so to speak.
Right.
And you need that to do a funeral, a wedding, a baptism, even they can celebrate mass in many places.
And it's a good idea probably most of the time, right?
It's a good idea. I mean, I think they could streamline it and make it more, you know, have a database where you can just swipe a card, but that's another matter. But it's funny how when it deals with bishops and cardinals, mm-hmm. they're not under that same parameters. Mm-mm. And so, you know, I say, hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah.
You know, we should all have, if it's good for the priest, it should be good for the hierarchy to have them with the same parameters, so that if Cardinal Mahoney has his letter of suitability pulled, then that means he isn't able to go anywhere and do that. But for some reason, you know, that's not happening, because in canon law, you know, these guys have universal jurisdiction, which has always been part of church practice. Again, there's where you've got the paradox. You know, we've got civil law, we also have canon law,
mm-hmm.
and maybe canon law needs to be tweaked a little bit to get up to date with the current situation.
You know, and what does that say about Archbishop Gomez? I mean, for Cardinal Mahoney just to completely disregard this very
public problem is
statement.
That he's a cardinal though, and he's not a defrock cardinal like McCarrick is no longer a cardinal. And so, like I said, even though Gomez may want him not to come, he doesn't have the canonical authority to forbid him to come, as far as I know.
Right.
He can say you're not welcome, mm-hmm. but Cardinal Mahoney outranks him in that one regard, that he's a cardinal and Gomez is not.
Father, thank you so much. We're out of time, but we invite all of our listeners to join us every Thursday at noon on 720 AM radio for Holy Family in the News with Father John Trigilio. God bless you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.